let's talk about raising money for self-storage and some overview of some general deal structures. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses training I offer. And the most recent addition was the On-Demand Self-Storage Boot Camp. That's the premier training I offer that's designed to take you from wherever you are now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. Soon there will be a new class on fundraising. But today I wanted to talk about some general kind of an overview of the world of fundraising and a very high level view of the different types of deal structures or fundraising capability that I've seen out there. So myself, I have raised money. Almost every deal I've been involved in has had investors and partners in it. And many of the people I coach with raise capital to go into their self-storage deals. Of all the training I've attempted to put together and systematize, this fundraising has been the hardest for me to get my mind around and organize in a coherent, presentable, simple way. I remember when I first started raising money, fundraising for self-storage, I would hear a lot of terms, you know, capital stack, mezzanine debt, Class A and Class B investors, equity tranches, common members, waterfalls, fee structures, internal rates of return. And all of these were occurred to be a big part in the world of fundraising and presenting deals. So to actually kind of put my mind around it, and in essence, what I attempt to do is kind of organize it mentally, then kind of dumb it down so I can talk about it in a coherent way. But I'm going to talk about some overall kind of buckets of types of fundraising or deal structures you can do. And then as a small investor getting in or growing your self-storage business, what most of us, the bucket we most of us tend to be in, although we'll talk about some other ones too. So I think there's like four main types of deals I see. The first one, I don't even relate to it like fundraising, although technically it is, and I'm going to call it common equity deals. There's nothing magic about that name. A syndication attorney or a private placement attorney might think that's a silly name, but that's what I call it, common equity deals. And it's a very simple structure. It's, let's say we have a $3 million deal, and I don't have enough money to do the whole deal myself. So let's look at the numbers here. Let's assume it's a $3 million deal. I'm going to do a 75% loan to value, so I'm going to need to raise $750,000 of equity. So if I only have half the equity, I have $375,000, and I would find another person to put in $375,000, and we'd each own 50% of the LLC. Typically, all the members are on the loan. The cash flow is split equally. Any cash calls that have to come in are split equally. Refinance proceeds and sale proceeds would also be split equally, or according to whatever percentage of cash went in the deal. This is a very common type of deal structure. It works great. I've been in them, but I really don't relate to it like fundraising. In my world, I'm looking for a partner. So I'm seeking a partner out to help me buy the deal, run the deal, and we'll split according to however much each one of us put in the deal. Now, moving on, the rest of what I'm going to talk about, I relate to it like fundraising. And I'm going to generalize at this point, not go into a whole lot of detail on this episode, but I'm going to say there's three kind of main buckets or three types of deals that I've seen and I've worked with people to do to acquire self-storage, raising funds using someone else's money other than their own or just their own. And I'm going to call these three main buckets: syndicated deals, one; two, joint ventures; and three, I'm going to call it funds or private placements. I've heard a lot of names about it's called, but we're going to call it the fund bucket or private placement bucket. Middle bucket will be joint ventures. First bucket will be syndications. So other than the common equity deals, syndications are what I see most small investors or people doing their first deals tend to be focusing on. In general, there's two main types of members or partners in these deals. I'm going to call you or your team the sponsors, the people that find the deals, underwrite the deals, control the deals. And then I'm going to call the people with the money investors. So generally, there's two types: sponsors and investors. Sometimes they're called limited partners and general partners. But we're going to call them sponsors and investors just to keep it simple. In most cases, the sponsors are on the loan and the investors put in the money. Investors are not on the loan. What the investors have at risk is their cash. The sponsors are responsible for the loan. In most cases, not all, but most cases. Like a hot tip, if somebody puts in the money and that same person or group is on the loan, that's now their deal. You just happen to find it. Typically, you don't want your investors being on the loan because then they have 100% of the risk. If somebody's got 100% of the risk, that's their deal, not yours. In most syndications, the people who get up the money get a preferred return. So what is a preferred return? It's one of those terms. Typically, a preferred return means that the first X percent of cash flow that comes out of this deal goes to the investors. In today's world, it's not uncommon to see an 8%, let's say, preferred return. That may go higher if interest rates stay high. But let's just say the investors get an 8% preferred return. What that means is that the first 8% of cash flow, so let's take the same scenario, $3 million deal, raising 25%, we raise $750,000, 8% on that is $60,000 a year. So the first $60,000 that comes out of this deal goes to the investors. Typically, after that, not always, but typically, anything over the 8% will be split according to the LLC shares. The sponsors will get their LLC percentage and the investors will get the rest. Sometimes the first 8% would go to the preferred, the next 8% would go to the sponsors, and then anything over 16 would be split evenly. There's an endless variation. There's an endless variety of ways that cash flows can be structured other than LLC shares. But if investors put the money up, typically they get a preferred return in most syndications I've seen. Now, very often we're doing value add plays where there might not be $60,000 in year one or two. Very often we have no money in year one and maybe a 3% in year two. Usually what happens is the unpaid preferred return accrues, in other words, it's owed to the investors, and will be caught up and paid before the sponsors begin to receive any cash flow from the deal. Not always, but generally that's how these deals are organized. Now, any accrued preferred return can have interest or not have interest as it accrues. Mostly I see it not having interest, but there have been deals and deal structures where it does accrue interest. And there's an endless variation of how you can structure these deals. You could have different classes of investors. I'm in deals where we have different classes of Class A and Class B. I don't want to go into detail here on this now. We may in a later episode, definitely in the class, fundraising for the small investor, the online training that will be coming out soon. But in syndications, you have generally two types of members, sponsors and investors, and investors usually get preferred returns on the cash flow. In today's world, mostly what I'm seeing for people starting off is like 50-50, 50% sponsors, 50% investors with a preferred return. Again, on the deal structure, there's endless variations. That wasn't what mine initially was. We had a different structure. I'll go into more details in another episode, definitely in the training. But in general, that's what I'm seeing. 50-50, preferred return. Sometimes there's a liquidity event, which changes how the cash flow is done. And a liquidity event is an event that generates cash. In other words, like a refinance proceeds or sales proceeds. Both of those are liquidity events. Syndications are typically deal specific. In other words, an investor will say yes or no to this deal, this project, with this type of organization on the preferred return in the LLC shares. The next main bucket I want to talk about are what are called joint ventures. I've never done a joint venture myself. I am a joint venture sponsor partner with some people, but I've helped people that I've coached find joint venture partners. Just like syndications or the world of funds, as we'll talk about in a minute, there's an endless variety of ways joint ventures can be structured, but I'll just share with you in general what I've seen on the deals that I've helped people get involved in. Usually, there's one joint venture partner. The joint venture partner will put up, typically what I've seen is 90% of the equity. The sponsors put up 10% of the equity. I've seen structures where usually the sponsors are the ones on the loan. I've even seen some joint venture partners do the lending on the debt side of it and then put the cash in for the equity side of it. But usually the joint venture partners put up the equity, the sponsors get the loan. It's usually something like 50-50 ownership. And the advantage of this is usually the joint venture partner has a lot more experience in many cases than the sponsor does. So someone new getting in, if you can get a joint venture partner, it's actually a very good thing because you can learn from the joint venture partner. Now, the downside is joint venture partner, you lose a lot of control over the deal because the joint venture partner will dictate a lot of what's going to happen in that deal. For example, they will dictate who manages that deal. They will dictate who does the financial reporting in that deal. They control a lot of the aspects of the transaction. That's the price for having a joint venture partner. You give up a lot of control. We never did it because we self-managed our own assets, and most joint venture partners want a REIT or an institutional property manager involved. The joint venture partnerships that I've helped people get into have all been multi-story, 100% climate control, or almost all 100% climate control in large markets, tier one type markets. Typically, that's where I've seen joint venture partners want to go. Extra Space is often a joint venture partner. They have told me they don't want to be a joint venture partner with someone doing their first self-storage deal. They want to see the sponsor have some experience in the business. But that's the type of joint venture partner I've seen. I've seen some funds. I've seen real estate funds be joint venture partners with people. Again, good way for someone new in the business to partner with someone with some experience and piggyback on their knowledge. You give up a lot of control on the deal when you bring a joint venture partner in, typically. Now, there's endless variation to those. I've been a joint venture partner on the sponsor side, and then we've syndicated deals where I've gone in and given my expertise and knowledge for ownership in the deal. Just like syndications, endless variations on how joint venture partners can be structured. The third main bucket I want to talk about today, let's call it funds or private placements. Sometimes people call syndications private placements. I'm going to talk about more in the world of funds. Now, this is a big world inside the self-storage space and real estate in general. I mean, how often have you seen, and this was just a random screenshot on the day I wrote the blog. Here was a screenshot. Go to almost any day in Inside Self Storage or Self Storage Association news. You will see a lot of articles and stories about the funds and institutional players who've raised millions and millions of dollars to get into self-storage. Warren Buffett, fund in self-storage. We've happened to sell a number of our facilities to the Prime Group, who was the fund this particular headline was talking about. So in general, again, there's no one way things are done. When you give money to a fund, in general, it's what we call a blind pool. In other words, you're not, in most cases, you're not saying yes or no to a specific deal. You're saying yes or no to the fund based on their track record and what they're offering you in terms of preferred return and what they've historically paid. Some funds deal with institutional money. In other words, some funds take primarily money from people who manage other people's money. Some funds will take directly from individual investors. Some funds do a combination of both. I am an investor in some funds. Now, usually small investors don't start off doing funds and raising a lot of money in blind pools. I've seen people attempt to do that. I've never seen anybody be successful at doing that. Usually, the way you start off is in common equity or syndication, sometimes joint ventures, but usually syndication. Again, there's an endless variety of how you would organize a fund in terms of ownership, but in general, I'm going to tell you what I see. The investors, or the investor pool, usually owns about 80% of the deal. The sponsors usually own about 20% of the deal. Sponsors are on loans if loans are needed. Very often, these funds are big enough and there's enough money in them that they will literally have a financial instrument, like I would relate to it like a line of credit, but it's like a financial instrument they can use to buy a deal if there's a value add play. Very often, not always, sometimes it's regular bank loans, but very often they'll do the value add play with the financial instrument, then once it's stabilized, refinance it, generally with non-recourse financing. The investors typically do get a preferred return, or they'll get a 8%. In the fund I'm in, we get an 8% return. And then when the fund liquidates its asset, we will be getting a percentage of the sale proceeds. Now, as a sponsor, but mostly in the world of funds, what I see is sponsors make a lot of their money, not all of it, but a lot of their money is made on fees. Here are some of the fees you'll see in the world of funds. You'll see an acquisition fee. You'll see a loan fee. You'll see a construction fee if there's construction involved. You'll see a yearly asset management fee, usually based on the income that the combined fund creates. You'll see disposition fees. Typically, you won't see all those fees. You could, but you'll see some of those fees in there. That's how fund managers and funds raise enough money to have the infrastructure needed to run a fund. And then they get 20% of the cash flow over and above the preferred return. Generally, depending on how it's organized. The world of funds is a heavily regulated corner of the fundraising world. All of them are, really, but this is the most regulated. And your team is absolutely critical here. You don't want Uncle Harry helping you set up your real estate fund. Again, I would say until you have a track record and some experience, invest in funds, see as an investor, kind of get the feel of it. But don't, my coaching is don't try to organize a fund. I've never seen somebody come out of the gate and successfully do it, although I'm sure someone has. I've just never seen it. So that's kind of an overview of, in the world of raising money for self-storage, that I've seen out there. And I'm probably going to go into more detail in some of the upcoming episodes of each type, particularly the syndications, because that's where I see most of us small investors spending the majority of our time. Now, not everybody's going to be interested in raising money to get in the self-storage business or grow it, but many of us, our success depends on our ability to have other people invest in the deals that we can control. So I hope this has given you kind of an overview of the types of fundraising deal structures you can do in general. We'll go into more detail in other episodes. Let me know if you thought this was helpful to you. And I appreciate your time and interest. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool we use to create the financial projections for the deals that we syndicate. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com or storageworldanalyzer.com. I look forward to being with you next week, and thank you.